And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Mitch Horowitz with us. We're going to take your phone calls this hour on the occult and your questions, your stories, and also let us know what you think about moving Halloween to the last Saturday of the month. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Mitch Horowitz. Mitch, have you ever dabbled with intuition in areas like that, telepathy?
Oh, sure. I'm very interested in intuition and ESP research. We have enough clinical evidence coming out of serious ESP research and have had for several decades to make it an absolute certainty that we exchange information in ways that go beyond our five senses. There's no question about that. The greater question is, how does it work? You know, what's the delivery mechanism and how can we use it? But I meet a lot of people who have precognitive dreams, actually.
I've been having these episodes lately. This is strange. Wonder if you can explain it for me, where I'll be thinking of something. Here's the most recent one. Remember the Andy Griffith Show? Ron Howard, Opie?
Oh, yeah.
All right, the little kid popped up, cuter than a button. And he popped up on this commercial of something, Opie did, as the little kid. And I couldn't think of his real name. I could go to IMDb and look it up and I'd get it in an instant. But I was trying to think of it and I couldn't get his name. And I'm going, who is Opie? And all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I look at a book and there's Ron Howard on the cover. So and I said, there he is. That's him. How does that happen? Am I tuned into that? There aren't coincidences. What happened?
No, everything has some kind of cause and effect behind it. It seems to me that our subconscious mind is such an incredible storehouse of information. And, you know, I think we tap it through the emotions. I think emotions form a lot of our memories. And when we feel really in need of wanting to remember something, and maybe the subconscious mind is capable of being tapped, making a connection that leads you to a book that you may have glanced at earlier in the day that may not have even entered your long-term memory, but somehow this memory was lodged and you found something. I've had similar experiences. I remember vividly having a dream once where the opening theme to the old television show Lost in Space was playing in my head with absolute clarity. And I know this was true because I woke up and I still heard the theme song playing in my head. I hadn't heard it for many, many years, had no conscious recollection of it. But then, as the morning went on, I forgot it again. And to this day, I cannot summon it. So it was my subconscious disclosing this song to me that I haven't heard for decades.
This has been happening far too often. And then I had a dream where, every night, by the way, when I go to bed, I put my watch on the dresser. It's just a standard thing for me. And I have this dream that I'm in a jewelry store, of all places, and I'm looking at watches. And, he notices my watch, and not very expensive, but it's big and gaudy. And he looks at it and says, oh, my God, where did you get that? You know, and I was talking to him, and he says, well, if you're going to look at my watches, we need to hold yours as collateral. And I said, why? He said, well, it's just a safety precaution. And he's looking at my watch like he wanted it.
Yeah.
And so I take my watch off in my dream. I give it to him. And then throughout the whole dream, after I was done looking at his watches, I said, I need my watch back. And he said, do you have ID? And I said, what do you mean ID? He says, how do I know you are who you are? And I said,
I said,
you just took it from me. And he wouldn't give me my watch.
Wow.
And I woke up just flabbergasted. It was the strangest dream. The kicker is I go to get my watch. It's not where I put it.
No kidding.
I have no idea where it is. It's gone. I end up finding it somewhere else that I might have put it down. Who knows? I don't remember. But how does your dream do these things?
That's absolutely remarkable. So here was an instance where you put your watch every single night on the nightstand just as a matter of habit, and you remember having done so that night. You had a dream about your watch basically being stolen, and then you found your watch in some unusual place later in the day. George, I wonder if it's possible that you were walking in your sleep and maybe moved the watch. Could that be a possibility?
Well, I don't think anybody has ever said that I walk in my sleep in my life.
Yeah,
that's a first, but who knows?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Something moved that watch, and that is a true mystery.
Something did. Let's go to the phones. James in Omaha, and let's get your take, first of all, James, on Halloween. Do you want it moved or not?
No, and I'll be short and simple. The easiest solution, all from an ex-Lumerian like me, is just legalize November 1st as a federal and non-federal holiday so everybody's satisfied, and we keep our ancient traditions that go back to the Pictish times, past the Pictish times, all the way back to the Atlantean times.
Interesting. Now, would you still have Halloween, though, on October 31st? Or?
Of course, always.
Okay,
why
interesting.
Why would you corrupt the ancient religions of all times? That's flabbergasting.
Interesting. Okay, a question or so for Mitch, or just that?
Just that.
Okay, my friend. Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mitch. Bravo. I think that caller is terrific because not only is he respecting the idea that we have to keep faith with the ancient traditions, but if you give people the next day off, it gives a break to parents and working folks who could use the time. Our country works hard enough. I'm all for having November 1st as a national holiday. It honors tradition, and it gives parents a break.
Isn't November 1st All Souls Day?
That's right. That's right. The church created that holiday in response to Halloween. So that's why we have an All Hallows Eve or an All Souls Day or an All Saints Day the next day. This was always a holiday that honored the departed, that honored the ancestors, that honored the spirit world. And it endured in popularity even after the advent of Christianity. So the church opted basically to co-opt it into its own calendar, calling it All Saints Day or All Hallows Eve for the night before October 31st. It was their way of trying to Christianize a pre-Christian holiday.
Let's go to Brad, first-time caller in Lacombe, Louisiana. Welcome to the show, Brad. Hi there. Would you change Would you change Halloween?
Yes.
You would? Okay. How come? Tell me why.
I'm not sure. All my kids are grown, and I like to see changes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
My question is that ever since I had a liver transplant, I've developed these thoughts that I know when something's going to happen.
Hmm.
I knew when my father was going to pass away. I went to his house. He died after I left. But the question I really have for you is when I buried him on our property, when everybody left and it was all over, I looked inside the house to make sure all the lights were gone. And where he sat all the time, it was a black figure with fire all around him.
Wow.
I mean, it was like blue, green. It was going all over the ceiling and everything. And I just shut the door and ran.
Wow.
I was so scared, you know. And I was wondering, did he go to hell?
Well, let me ask you this, Brad, in all respect. Was he a good guy to you and the family?
Yeah, he was a fantastic person. He'd give his shirt off his back.
Okay.
We owned a mechanic shop, and we used to fix people's cars around the shop, you know, for nothing, you know.
So what was that, Mitch?
Very giving person.
Well, that's fascinating. You know, when I was listening to Brad describe his experience, he keyed it to a liver transplant. So one could ask the question, hey, is there some memory that was lodged in the organ that Brad received?
From the person that he received it from. That's right.
That's right. But the other thing that occurred to me is maybe it's not the transplanted organ, but it was the very fact of having to undergo an organ transplant, something very few of us experience. It is a life or death experience, and maybe he had some sort of encounter with the non-physical world, and he brought back with him the possibility of seeing things that go beyond the physical. Just a thought, you know, but those were two options that occurred to me.
Brad, do you know who the liver donor might have been?
It was a young lady. That's all I found out.
Okay.
I've been getting some weird thoughts, though. I've been dreaming stuff in the past, like I was in a New England classroom where all the wood was dark black and the walls were yellow. And I keep on getting this dream like I was there, you know, in Ireland or somewhere, you know. And then I started dreaming about knowing when people's going to call me. Calling my daughter and says, I was just thinking about it. She says, I was just getting ready to call you.
And before the liver transplant, you never had any of these experiences?
No, not at all.
Wow. That's
not at all.
And do you know where the woman came from, by any chance, the donor?
Uh, all I popped out is I never did really get into finding out who it is, and I'm probably sure I should. But it was just a thing that I knew she was a young lady, and she was towards the middle of the country, I heard.
What happened to her?
They wouldn't tell me.
They won't tell me. Okay.
But it was weird, though. I mean, everything changed in my whole life. I mean, I can honestly sit and do what you were saying before. Oh, look at this. And I was we were at dinner. We was playing because they had the order with a lot of shrimp on it. So I said, oh, this is Forrest Gump. So I go home and turn the TV on Forrest Gump.
It's Forrest Gump. Yeah, it's weird. How many years now have you had this liver?
10 years.
Wow, good for you. You're doing okay?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Super.
But I've been trying to get in touch with you, George, for years, man. I just figured out how to do it now, you know?
By the way, there's an herb that'll keep helping you called milk thistle, which is great for the liver.
I heard of it.
Okay.
You got a great show, and I'm glad to listen to you. But yeah, did I get the answer that I wanted? Did he go to hell? Is that?
Oh, God, so we jump to that conclusion. You know, I think that the world is a very mysterious place, and the vision that you were having may have been a vision of the past, may have been a vision of the future. It may be some aspect of the afterlife, but I wouldn't jump to that conclusion, especially based on your testimony of what a good man he was.
Right, and it's possible, Mitch, that figure Brad saw wasn't even his father.
It's entirely possible. You know, there are things going on all around us that go beyond the physical, and we know this. You know, we were talking earlier about ESP research, and there may be different forms that are either interdimensional or that are thought projections that people pick up from time to time, and they think, oh, it's a ghost or it's an apparition, but that also could be what Brad experienced.
Next up, we go to Monica in Reese, Oregon. Hey, Monica, go ahead.
Hi.
All
yeah,
right. Would you change the date of Halloween?
I'm sorry?
Would you change the date of Halloween?
No. Heck no.
Keep it where it is, huh? Okay.
Yes,
I like
indeed.
That answer.
All right, take it away with your question.
I don't really have a question. I'm just wanting to put in my 2 cents worth.
All right, put in your 3 cents worth.
Okay, well, okay, my 3 cents worth. No, I feel that Halloween should just be a left alone because, you know, I feel it's a celebration, you know, of one's harvest and, you know, like what was said, a thinning of the veil, All Hallows Eve, you know, followed by All Souls Day, whatever, they need to leave it alone. And frankly, I mean, we're not keeping our kids out trick-or-treating till, what, 10 or 11 at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the weather, I mean, the weather, at least up here in Oregon, it's going to be cold or rainy.
Yeah,
no
it gets,
what,
you
so
gets chilly and rain.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Mitch, who has the right to change the date? Would this have to be some kind of federal congressional thing? Who does that?
That's a terrific question, George, and I've been researching that. In some cases, the president can change the date based on executive order.
Really? He could just go, woof, and stuff. Oh, boy, Donald.
Right.
Hold on, Trump.
That's right. And in fact, he is taking a look at this petition that we're discussing in favor of moving Halloween has more than 150,000 signatures. And basically, the White House is willing to review petitions that have in excess of 75,000 signatures. So they've got it beat by double. And so his staff is taking a look at this. And in some cases, executive order, a president can change the date of a holiday. In other cases, federally observed day and offices are closed, federal branches of government are closed, then basically it has to be an act of Congress. States will have to vote on it as well. Since there's no day off, it's possible done by executive order.
Interesting. Lynn is in Vancouver, Canada. Lynn, would you change the date?
Oh, no.
No. this could be overwhelming, Mitch.
So, yeah, this is why I love your experiment.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. And, Mitch, I'm a big fan of your work, and I just love hearing you on the radio. And I see you on TV once in a while, and I think it's great with your research and how you can explain everything to us. But I want to back up my vote for Do Not Change Halloween with a little story.
Sure, love to hear it.
About Halloween, and that first caller that nailed it with ancient traditions is kind of the theme I'm going with, because it's not just about the little kids, but let's remember that adults love Halloween as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many bacchanals set up for Halloween evening where people dress up and just go crazy. And I've already admitted to being a fool in the Rocky Mountains with a two-blade Swiss Army knife in the past. So I'll preface this whole story with that particular snippet of info. So bear in mind, Rocky Mountains, kind of remote, not a lot of easy transport. You know, you have to have a car or you hike it. And the party started, and there was like 100 people. Most, you know, it was just crazy. It was like almost every service person in the hotel industry in the valley showed up. So it was just crazy. Everybody's dressed up. Every, you know, bacchanal being what it is, it turns into a drunk fest. And somebody who was somewhat sober decided, well, let's take this party down to another spot 13 miles down the road, kind of thing, right? And so we ended up at another spot. And then it started to get weird. And I've always felt that if I'm uncomfortable in a situation and I can leave, I'll leave. And it's not like it was life-threatening or anything, but I saw one person who was extremely drunk take out a very big knife and start going after their sketchbook. They were a brilliant artist. And I just thought this was one of the most weirdest things I would ever see.
Yeah.
Didn't like the knife. And of course it was bigger than my Swiss Army knife. There was lots of people there, and I started asking, it's like, don't you think this is a little weird with the knife and everything? And they all kind of shrugged it off, but I didn't feel good about it. So I left. Now here's the arrogance and hubris of a stupid urban person in the Rocky Mountains, leaving at 4 a.m. now on All Saints Day. And believe me, the, you know, whatever buzz on I might have had, I was instantly sobered by the knife. So I just sort of wanted to get out of there. So I started walking back to where I lived, which was about 13 miles.
You walked 13 miles?
Yeah, I already prefaced how stupid I was. So
so you don't need me to rub that in, right?
No, I mean, George, please don't. Because this has become one of the most profound moments of my life. Because on one, the mountain road was a good 200 to 500 foot drop on the right, and it was a good 200 foot cliff to the left. So basically, Jeez. It's chiseled out of the side of the mountain, and it went down into a giant big lake. And I start walking. Of course, there's no traffic, but when there was a car or a truck, you could hear it for a couple of miles coming, you know, the echo of the mountain. So, and you could then see the lights. And I'm still in my costume. And I was one of the four members of KISS. And I had the star. And I had the hair. And we'd taken foil and put it on our cowboy boots. You know what I mean? You make do when you're in the middle of nowhere. So anyway, so I'm trying to hitchhike. And every time I stuck out a thumb, they would actually start veering towards me. So this didn't feel good. And at a certain point, I would say at about the four-mile mark, I heard the wolves. They were on the ridge above me.
Hold on for a second, Lynn. We're at the break. Let's pick it up at the four-mile mark, and we'll take final calls with Mitch Horowitz when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, George Dory with you, along with Mitch Horowitz. Now we're going to go back to Lynn in British Columbia, Vancouver, in Canada, where she's walking home 13 miles. She's now at mile 4, and she hears wolves howling. What the heck's happening here now, Lynn?
Well, as you must imagine, I was petrified, and all I knew about wolves at this point was that as pack hunters, that they could eat me quite readily if they really wanted to.
Yes.
And I must, and I have to preface this too with this area of the Rocky Mountains is just rich with the treasures of the sacred ancestors of First Nations here in Canada. Interior Salish most specifically. So there was that sort of sacred energy. And, of course, there was the Halloween, the thinning of the veil. I understood that. You know, I'd been to university, the academics. I had the science background. And I also had Sunday school Christianity as a child. So, you know, as much as I was very young, ergo stupid, and so as much as I had knowledge of all these things, it wasn't heartfelt. You know, it's like, yes, I know these things exist, and I'm trying to be a good person, but there I am walking, and that's when I, you know, the fear. I also knew that animals had heard that animals can feel your fear, and that gives them, you know, they know you're afraid of them, so they'll come and get you. So anyway, so I realized I can't show fear. So, of course, in this great place of fear, I prayed. You know, you're just like, okay, you know, I admitted being stupid. I even said it out loud, like, who's going to hear? So I did the prayer, like, okay, I'm stupid. This was really bad. As far as I was concerned, I was at a point of no return because I wasn't going back to where the knife was.
Well, you were toast.
So I basically prayed, I'm going to keep walking, and you're just going to have to watch my back. You know, like I guess I pulled on whatever otherworldly power was out there. I just said, I need your help. And I've never walked so fast in my life. Basically, the power walk. At mile 11, one of the chefs, I was working at a hotel at the time, one of the early morning shift chef, head chef, he and another kitchen aide were driving to work, commuting to work on this mountain road, saw me from behind, and I didn't even hitchhike, and they just pulled over and picked me up.
They saved you. God knows what would have happened.
And I was literally 2 miles from my destination. I still had to walk half a mile after they dropped me off, but that was easy because now it was light out. You see, it was okay. It wasn't so great when the moon was setting behind the mountain. Everything was dark. The stars were beautiful.
Well, let's find out from you, Mitch. Is there a moral here?
It's one of the scariest I've ever heard. I think you did the right thing by leaving the party when you sensed that there was some danger afoot. And I think it's very important that when we have an instinct about something, that instinct to get out of a certain social situation that starts to get weird, or stay out loud when we feel and we're walking alone or some similar situation, act on it. We have these protective instincts. And to me, the moral of that story, always follow them. One was to leave, one was to pray, and Lynn is with us to be able to tell the story tonight.
Unbelievable. Well, I got to tell you, it's a strange circumstance. Lynn, we're glad you got out of it okay, and you're in one piece, to be sure. Let's go next to Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Annie, would you change the date of Halloween?
Thank you for taking my call, George. Under the following circumstances, I would change the date to the last Saturday only if the following Monday would be a federal holiday and all the post office people and federal court people would have a holiday, and they would not call it Halloween. They would call it the fall holiday, so it would be all inclusive of those who celebrate something else. And I'm calling about some strange things that have been happening in the last year only, things that never happened before.
Well, I got to tell you, like what?
Okay, when I'm listening to the radio, I'm usually reading. And I'll come to a word, and when I come to that word, I hear that word on the radio very frequently, and this never happened until about the last year.
So what do we do about synchronicities, Mitch?
Well, I think synchronicities tell us that we're connected to circumstances around. I do think that minds have the ability to collect from among experiences that happen to us. In fact, I think it's going on all the time. Sometimes it catches us by surprise. We'll be thinking about something, see the circumstance, and they're close in time to another, and we call that a synchronicity. Other times, circumstances that we've been thinking about might not play out for 10 or 20 years. That's happened a lot in life. And although the connection is there, because it's not, because there was a longer gestation period, we don't call it a synchronicity. We even are forgetful about it. We don't really note it as significant. But I think these kinds of events are happening all the time. And when we happen, when they happen quickly, that's when we call them synchronicities.
Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Joe, would you change the date of Halloween?
I feel it's just a power play for more money, but it might not lead to more money because they're breaking the tradition and people might rebel and not put out their money.
But would you change it or not?
No.
You would not? Okay.
No, because it's breaking with tradition to, I mean, it might be more convenient to trick-or-treat on a Saturday and have the parties on a Saturday, but it's still breaking tradition.
Sure.
And it's being done to, for money purposes, which is like everything else. But my question for Mitch, I could relate Lynn's story into it. This idea of intuition and red flags. Now, say Lynn was at that first scene of the party and someone told her, don't continue on, you know, it's not going to go well, and that was her red flag.
Yes.
Now, that person is not going to, like, block the path to that party. So it's not, the red flag might have been there, but it's only going to be so pronounced.
Yeah.
So it might not be taken as a red flag. In other words, you do get your warnings, maybe your red flags, but it's not like someone's going to stop you, grab you, and, you know, force you not to do something. So in other words, if you want to do something and you have in mind you're going to do it no matter what, and you get the warnings, how do you work in that intuition to accept the warning when it's only a mild warning?
Yeah, that's a very interesting quote. I think it seems to me that sometimes the things internally that we don't intellectually.
Hey, Mitch, I'm losing you on your cell phone.
Oh, sorry about that.
So I wonder if we can move you to a different area of where you are.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's get any better.
Let's do that. I mean, you've been dropping in and out, so we'll see if you can answer Joe's question, and if you drop out, I'll let you know so you can move again.
Yes, sir. Joe, it seems to me that our emotions are usually the way we make our decisions. We usually make a decision first using our emotions, and then we go to the intellect. If you're feeling something emotional, even if it's subtle, there's probably wisdom in that. I would follow that.
And wherever you are, stand right there.
I'm not moving.
Don't move. Let's go to Dale in Sebastopol, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dale.
It's Daryl. I just want to make a quick comment. I don't have a question. It's about the current reincarnation of Anton LaVey. I don't know if I should mention his name because he's kind of a private citizen. But he's a guy who's doing good. He's working in antivirus software for Norton. And don't ask me how I know. It's just a gift. I know how to connect to people. So he's not doing – he probably knew in between state, you know, in between his last lifetime and this, you know, that he's not doing good. So he came back to do good.
All right.
So we're in good hands with him.
Whoever he may be. Do you believe in reincarnation, Mitch?
I do. I think that we often go through life with traits that – we seem to be born with. There are very deep-seated conflicts, issues of temperament, issues of character that we come out of the womb with, and they follow us through life. And one way that could be explained is the accumulation of experiences through karma. I do think that some kind of eternal recurrence is a very distinct possibility.
Tim's in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Tim, would you change Halloween's date?
Yes, I would.
You would do it. Okay. How come?
Just accommodate, you know, other people that celebrate like fall festival and things like that.
A little more convenient. Okay, go ahead, Timmy.
Yes, I wanted to tell about an experience I had while looking to one of your shows. You had a guest on, and I remember him saying something about, no, they don't scare me, and they follow me home sometimes, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, you know, like in Lynn's case, Mitch, you got to be careful because you could bring entities home with you, can't you?
Yes, I do believe that that's possible. But I think that these are risks we face all the time. You know, we have similar risks when we go online in a certain times we're meeting strangers or awaiting are taking opportunities, strangers. You know, we take these same risks in the world. We take certain risks in the unseen world. You always have to be careful.
You're breaking up again on me, Mitch. This is a strange night tonight on phone calls, I'll tell you.
It must be the Ouija board discussion.
Must have been something.
But I experiences in the physical world and in the non-physical world that require caution, and that should always be respected.
Bob in Cleveland, Ohio. Bob, would you change the date of Halloween?
I personally don't feel the need to, George, but I don't have a problem with it being changed. Many municipalities change the date of children's Halloween already, and there don't seem to be a problem. Adults probably are going to always celebrate it on October 31st, and I think that's fine. I had a question for Mitch. A couple of weeks ago, there was a wonderful coast-to-coast AM broadcast on the weekend where I forget the name of the guest, but she was a white witch. I think she might have been interviewed by Ian Punnin. And the show was about her concern over satanic cults operating in the Los Angeles area that were involved in the abduction and trafficking and abuse of children. And I was curious because, Mitch, I know that you do a bit of work in the Los Angeles area. I was wondering if you had ever encountered any sort of satanic cult, not necessarily that you were involved in them, but if you might be aware of these sort of cults operating in the area.
Oh, I appreciate that question. I've had any such encounter. I'm not aware of that. And I do think that we need to be very careful when we talk about satanic cults, because we had a satanic panic or scare in the 1980s that has now, in retrospect, been completely false. And it was a fiction that harmed a lot of innocent folk. There were a lot of innocent people, some of whom were witches or practitioners of the esoteric in any way, and they got caught up in these baseless accusations of abuse. So whenever I hear that, I caution people to take a yellow light and to go slowly, because we have to be very careful when we start to point fingers.
Couple more minutes left of the program. Let's go to Mary in Hollywood, Florida. Hi, Mayor. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
I personally do not agree with that, because Halloween is the eve before All Saints. Does that mean they're going to change also November 2nd?
Right.
Or 1st. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
That's a very good observation, actually.
And what is them to change later on? Maybe they'll change Christmas to October 16th.
Right.
You never know. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it. Donna in California. Donna, would you change the date?
Oh, hi. Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, well, I think it's already been changed because people celebrated on Saturday for their kids.
Some of them do.
Trick-or-treating. But, you know, we changed Cinco de Mayo in Hawaii so they could celebrate it longer. So now it's uno, dos, tres, and cinco now. And they even close off the street so everybody could get dressed up. But nobody really knows what Cinco de Mayo is, but it's a drinking holiday and dress up. But I wanted to ask Mitch, the fact that I was born an intuitive, all my life I have seen 11-11 everywhere.
Well,
and I was born 11 minutes after 11.
I see 11-11 a lot too, Mitch.
Same here. Has been the subject of so many different experiences. I had a huge tool opening in Petersburg, Florida, about 18 months ago, and the clock read 11. And I actually took a snapshot of it, wanted people to realize that, you know, I wasn't just making the arrow buzz. And it's interesting. It must convey something about the symmetry world, because a lot of people report intuitive or remarkable experiences at
Our numbers lady, Glynis McCants, will always tell us that there's something to do with those numbers. Generally, that things are happening, good things are happening indeed. Mitch Horowitz's website is his name, MitchHorowitz.com. And, of course, you can track all the books that he has written on the occult and everything else. He does a great job. Ian Punnett filling in for us tomorrow, and then I'll be back on Sunday on Coast to Coast. So get ready for a regular great week on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.